because the book of Mark is so graphic. You know, he just makes a visual outline in his narrative that I can relate to. You know, most of us are visual people. You know, we like to see things. I remember the time when we had radio and we didn't have TV. We crave to see what was being said on the radio. But then one time after that, we received a movie theater in a small town called Jasper, Alabama. And we were so happy for that movie theater because now we didn't have to listen to the radio all the time. It says that, have you ever drove through a rainstorm? And as you're driving through a rainstorm, the rain starts off with little drips and on your windshield, little drops of rain. And as you keep on going, the rain just keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier. But no matter how many times you turn on your windshield wipers, it just seems like you can't see. And I say, Lord, I can't see. He said, well, why don't you pull over to the side of the road? And I said, but I need to make the destination to where I'm going. He said, but you can't see. Another situation I've had, have you ever taken a test? And you look down at the test paper, and you know you studied for the test, and you look at the test paper, I know it. I know that. I know the answer to that. But why am I not getting the answer right? You know? I need another look at the answer, the test paper, to make sure what I'm doing is correct. The purpose of the text is to present Jesus as the Messiah, as stated in Isaiah 29 and 18, in Isaiah 35. It was prophesied in Isaiah, as we mentioned today in Core 52 study. We talked about the Messiah. Now I said, wow. In the beginning of my text, I'm talking about the Messiah. It said that it was prophesied that the Messiah would come, that he would open up deaf ears, and he would open up the blinded eyes. And that was the identity point of the Messiah, that if you saw that coming, you know that was him. Yes. Amen? Amen. It says that Mark, in his narrative, he used such an amazing word, Pastor Will. It was an amazing word that he used over 40 times in his narrative. He used two words. He used one word called straightway, and another word called immediately. And I say, Lord, what are you trying to say here? But sometimes God don't heal immediately. Sometimes God heals by a second touch. Have you ever been to the hospital and you prayed to God, and it seemed like you should, the first time you prayed and you went to the hospital, you should have got immediate results. But it turned out that you went the next day and you got another report. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You got a second opinion, and it turned out to be a second touch. I like this part to say that the disciples, like the blind man, had been touched by Jesus. But their understanding was dull and far from complete. Many of us in Christian circles, when we first started off, we started off with Jesus. But our understanding was dull and incomplete. And many in our congregations all over the world, many come to churches all over this world, that they got Jesus, they repented of their sins, but their understanding of Jesus is not complete. Sometimes along the Christian journey, we lose focus. Well, what is focus? Focus is when you direct a great deal of attention, interest, or activity towards a particular goal or being single-minded toward the things of God. The text shows us that today, that God does not heal every situation in our life. Sometimes you need a second touch. Verse 22 says, and he cometh to a village. He didn't come to a city, but he came to a small town, a small village called Bethsaida. Some people tried to tell me it was Bethesda. I said, that's not Bethesda. That's Bethsaida. Bethsaida means the house of hunt or the house of fishing. If you know anything about the historical geography of Bethsaida, Bethsaida is northeast of the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan comes up north at the bottom of the Sea of Galilee, and if you just keep going straight and you turn right, you have Bethsaida. It says, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him. I looked up the word besought. Besought in the Strong says 3:38-70. It's a word called parakaleo. Parakaleo means to invite or to fervently ask about something. Right. It just wasn't a calm, casual when they brought the man to Jesus. It wasn't casual. It was fervent. They say, Jesus, I know you're here. Help this man. It wasn't a casual. How many of us sometimes have a casual attitude about people? It's not based on a fervency. Sometimes it's just casual. See, come, saw, okay. I understand you lost and you need Jesus. But that's not this crowd here. It says that he coming to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man to him, and they besought him. How many people today, here today, is in the they crowd? It didn't mention the people's name. It didn't say that they was disciples. It didn't say that they were friends. It didn't say they was the Pharisees or Sadducees. It said they. Many people want to be in the they crowd. Some people want to be in the in crowd. And some people want to be in a clique. But we, as the children of God, we want to be in the they crowd. What you mean, Wells? The they crowd. The they crowd has the spirit of helps in operation. The day crowd is always trying to win souls to the kingdom or souls to Christ. The day crowd recognize that people have physical and spiritual needs. The day crowd is found bringing people to Jesus so he can meet their spiritual and physical needs. Are you in a day crowd? Raise your hand. If you want to be in a day crowd, raise your hand.
Come on now.
Verse 23 says, and he took the blind man by the hand. Verse 23, we happy to see my yoke brother in the gospel. I have two of my yoke brothers, three of them here today. Reverend Foy, Reverend Nick, Evangelist Tone. You know, these are my yoke brothers in the gospel. And this is one of my yoke brothers, and all of y'all are really my yoke brothers and sisters in the gospel. Give yourself a hand clap. Because we all in this together. Sometimes it don't seem like it. But we are, amen. We all your brothers and sisters in the gospel trying to bring people to Christ. And he took the blind man by the hand. And he led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes, he laid his hands on him. Ann Murray and Donnie Hathaway would sing a song. Put your hands in the hands of a man that steals the water. Put your hand in the hand of a man that calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself, and then you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man of Galilee. That's who they led the blind man to. They had enough sense to know that they couldn't do anything with the blind man. Amen. And sometimes we need to have enough sense to say, I can't do nothing with you. I got to take you to Jesus. Your attitudes, your situation, your spirit and all of that, I got to take you to Jesus. Yes. Jesus' hands is the best hands. Jesus' hands is the best hands. Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is the potter who forms the clay.
Yes, yes.
It says that Jesus is the one that takes clay and molds and starts shaping and changing people's lives. When you put people in the hands of Jesus, God can start working on them, amen?
Yes.
They look like they're nothing but a lump of clay, but God will start working on them and changing them and rearranging them. Put your hands in the hands of a man. And another thing about the potter in that changing, he bring forth restoration. That which was broken, he can restore. He brings forth transformation for a sin-sick soul. But the question is, in verse 23, are you willing to be led? The blind man could have did everything but go with Jesus. I'm blind. I'm not. I don't know what he getting ready to do to me.
Right.
I'm blind.
Right.
But I know Jesus. I ain't never seen Jesus. Well, who is Jesus? You putting me in the hands of Jesus. But the question today is, are you willing to be led by God? Being led by God means that you trust God and agree to follow Jesus. What being led by God means is that you spend time alone with him, you walk with him, and you learn from him through the scriptures and by the Spirit of the living God. And also being led by him is that you be led to be obedient to the things of God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, I know everyone knows that one. What did it say? I'm going to hear you. What? Huh? Come on now. He said he led the blind man out of town to deliver him from the people. And I looked at that. He took him out the town, Pastor Will. He took him out the town. But what was the text doesn't say that the people followed him. they took the man to Jesus, but they went another direction. They went in another direction. They went opposite. If anything, you want to see what you heard about Jesus. You want to see what Jesus is going to do, amen?
Amen,
I'm not going the other direction. Where you going, Jesus? Like, we going right with you.
Right, that's right.
He led the blind man out of town, delivered him from people who brought him to Jesus. Sometimes your cronies can't go where you're going. Huh? Sometimes you try to take your cronies with you and they full of doubt and unbelief. Why you want to take somebody that's full of doubt and unbelief and you getting ready to get healed, you getting ready to get your blessing, and you taking these dead heads with you? Matthew 11:20 said that Chorazin and Bethsaida didn't repent. They didn't repent, y'all. That's why they wasn't interested in the things of God. It's strange that people didn't follow them out the city, nor did they repent in Bethsaida. It's right there in Matthew 11:20. He spit in his eyes. Now, I don't want y'all to get spiritual and start spitting on people. Because I know y'all can get kooky. I know saints now. I know saints. If it's in there, they say it's in the Bible. He says, spit in your eyes, nigga, if you spit on me. If you spit on me, I couldn't even get with Jesus spitting on me. He spit in his eyes, y'all. Real spit. You can say it was holy spit. Spit is spit. He said he spit in his eyes. But you know what? We shouldn't care about the method.
Right.
But what we should be concerned about is the results of the method.
Yes.
Naaman, the Syrian, the captain of the host of Syria, he had a problem with the method. They told him, look, dude, all you got to do is go down to the River Jordan, in the muddy Jordan, and you'll receive your sight. He said, I got a problem with that. I'm not going. Do you know who I am? I'm the host. I'm the captain of the host of the Syrian army. I'm not going down to get in no muddy river to he had leprosy, to heal from my leprosy. He said, I'm not doing that. And just think, a little man, little, what we call little, a servant. We all servants, amen? We all servants. So they think servants was little because, you know, they didn't ride around on white horses. They didn't have great wardrobe. He said, look, dude, if God said it, and that's all you got to do, why are you so hesitant about getting your breakthrough? Why are you so hesitant about getting your deliverance? God, don't be concerned about the method, but be concerned about the results. There's another part of that we need to understand, that God doesn't do everything the same way.
That's right. That's
all
right.
The time.
Right.
God's mind is so vast. God's mind is so beyond our comprehension. We can't keep up. Verse 24 says, And he looked up. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. My problem with the text is he looked up. I said, so to me, the man had to be walking around with his head bowed down. He had to be walking around Justin rejected. He had to be walking around Lily despondent. He had to be walking around in despair, Reg.
Come on.
Because his situation was bleak.
Yes.
And then everybody that's supposed to have been standing by him had left him.
Come on now.
And he like, Lord, what you gonna do? We don't know what you gonna do. As Pastor Will say, but our eyes is on you. He said that, I see. So the first touch, he saw him. But it wasn't clear. It wasn't focused. But we are just like that blind man. When God delivers us, it's not clear. It's not focused. Verse 25 says, after that, he put his hands upon his eyes. You know, in the hood, y'all, we say, we got a saying, I'm going to put them hands on you if you don't act right. I'm going to put them hands on you. But you know, we as Christians, our hands are instruments of righteousness. And we have to be careful about how we use our hands, because the power of God sometimes flows through our hands. The anointing of God flows through our hands. You can pray for somebody and lay hands on the sick, and the Bible say they can recover. But we're using our hands for all kind of other stuff. Says, upon his eyes, and he made him look up. Isn't that wonderful? He made him look up. And always, when I think about looking up, I always think about that scripture. I look unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help coming from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Yes.
And when he looked up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. But you know what? I don't care about the other man clearly, but I get to see Jesus
yes.
clearly. I get to see Jesus for myself. Anybody want to see Jesus for themselves? In a clear and special way?
Amen.
Raise your hand. Do you want to see Jesus
Amen.
In a clear and special way?
Amen.
It was the power of the second touch. Do anybody need a second touch this morning?
All right.
Some here today need a touch of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Some here need a second touch so that they can be able, that we can be able to walk right. Some need a special touch on their finances. Some need a special touch with relationships with people. Some need a second touch of healing. Some need a second touch of who Jesus truly is. Some need a second touch to break through in their addictions and their habits. He said, he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. And I was like, what does that mean? Do you ever get stuck like that? Do you while you reading the scriptures, you be like, what does that mean? Lord, why you didn't let the man go back into town so that he can tell it and the people can be blessed? But I found out something. The reason why God said, don't go back. Number one, I had mentioned it because Bethsaida had been cursed. They didn't believe. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't believe. So the Bible say, why cast your pearls before swine? It says, for Christ is only giving vision to where you are going and not where you have been. Give God a hand clap of praise. For Christ is only giving vision. Say that with me. For Christ is only giving vision to where you are going and not where you've been. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore now we are new creations. Old things is passed away. And behold, all things become new. So everything that become new, why would you want to go back? It says, Romans 6:11-12, we are alive to Christ and dead to sin. Our lives are no longer worldly, but we are spiritual. Our old nature was nailed to the cross with Christ. Reg, I hear you up here. The old nature was buried with Christ. But the new man was raised to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We've been resurrected to a new way of life, a new way of talking, a new way of walking. We sons and sisters of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that we're going to be like him. And now we don't have to wait until we get there. This is practice ground. Right. Amen. This is practice ground right here. Amen. So we thank you this morning. We thank you for time spent. Thank you for time for listening to me and listening to the word. And we just give God the praise in Jesus' name. But you know, it wouldn't be complete. It wouldn't be complete if we didn't offer the plan of salvation. Preaching is not complete until Christ manifests. Until you go to Calvary, they put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a robe on him. They pulled his beard. They jeered at him. They mocked him. They made him carry his own cross up to the place called the skull. And when he got there, they nailed his hands. They nailed his feet. They pierced him in the side. Blood and water came pouring down. But that's not the end of the story. They took him down and put him in a borrowed grave. He didn't own the grave, he borrowed it. They put him in a borrowed grave. But I was some of my preacher friends, I'd say early, Sunday morning, he got up. He got up out the grave, y'all. For your sin and for my sin. And for all those that's out there lost in the world today, I don't know if you made a public confession to the Lord or not, but if you haven't, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to repent of your sins, because all men will say in their own way, proclaim their own goodness. Oh man, you know, I ain't as bad as that guy. You know, I ain't this guy. But the Bible says, that's what Pastor Will say. He say, what the Bible got to say, Will? I say, the Bible says that all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not none. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so we thank you. We have people here that can lead you to Christ. If you want to be led to Christ and give your life to Christ right now, I wouldn't take the chance to walk out of here today and not give my life to the Lord. You know, you might don't have the whole story clear. You need a second touch. I will get that second touch today to make my salvation secure.
Yes. All right. Yes.
So if you want to do that, you have the ushers, you have the elders, and the pastor is always available. But, you know, you can just ask one of the saints here. They've been going through Bible training. You can ask Justin. You can ask Leah. You can ask Anne. You can ask Mark. You can ask Sister Marie. You can ask anybody in this congregation about how to be saved. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Bless Rod next week as we touch him. And we're just thankful for the word today. Good word, Rod. I love that passage. That's a good word, no doubt. I love that passage. Beautiful passage. Rod, you didn't give a Monday morning moment. I wrote down, if I were to give a Monday morning moment of your survey, I mean, there were so many great thoughts I could take away. As my nephew Todd will be preaching next week, as he would say, that'll preach. There were a lot of things you said that'll preach, but I love when you said God gives vision to where we're going and not to where we're going. I just thought about looking unto Jesus, Hebrews tells us, the author and the finisher of our faith. Yes. And I just love the idea of looking forward, not looking back. Brother Beecham taught an excellent lesson in Bible class Wednesday about forgiveness. And I'm thinking about just when we forgive, we put the past behind us. We let it go. We move on so the Lord can forgive us. I just love that forward-looking, forward-thinking. That was just a beautiful thing, and just praise God for that. So before I start preaching and just mess things up, Tim, I'm just going to turn over to you, my friend. Love you, Tim, and just feel free to just lead us into prayer and share whatever you'd like to share, Tim. Just unmute yourself. Yep, you still get it. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, Tim. You're good. Hang on. Let me. I have to mute you here. Go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Yep.